Good morning.
Good morning.
Today's shiur is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas, my grandmother, Sarah Bat Yitzchak HaKohen. Was your yahrzeit today? Amen. I want to share a maimar by Rav Huttner, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, about the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, because that's a subject that came up in the last few days in our discussion of whether Daniel was a Navi and why Sefer Daniel is in the Ksuvim, not in the Nevi'im. And so he has a long explanation of the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and based on which he explains a number of halachos. There are a couple of halachic implications of whether something is in Nevi'im or Ksuvim. He starts with the Gemara in Shabbos. It says, Darash Hahugli La'a, the certain sage from the Galilee, Darshan, Aleid Rav Chista, in front of Rav Chista, Brich Rachmana Diyavlan Uryan Tlitai La'am Tlitai. Blessed is God who gave us the three-part Torah to the three-part nation through the third person, Moshe as the third child, three-part nation, Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. And the three-part Torah is Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. Rashi said, that's according to Rashi. There are other explanations of what three-part Torah means, but Rashi says it means Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. The Huttner says, and this is incidentally in Pachat Yitzhak for Shavuos, Maimer Bet. So Rav Huttner says that one might have mistakenly thought that the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim is simply a historical difference, that the Nevi'im were a revelation on a higher level than the Ksuvim. If they're on a higher level, they're in the Nevi'im. If they're on a lower level, they're in the Ksuvim. Okay. He says one might have mistakenly thought that. That's exactly what the Rambam thinks. But Rav Huttner says that from this Gemara, it would seem not to be the case, because the Gemara says, blessed is God who gave us the three-part Torah. If the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim is that Ksuvim were on a lower level, why would you bless God for that? It's like, blessed is my child who got report card with A, B's, and C's. Like, it doesn't make any sense, right?
So today's psychology,
in today's psychology, it does, but it's not Chazal's psychology. he says, rather, there must be some inherent difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim as far as the actual holiness of them. Not that one's higher or lower, but they're different types of holiness. the Gemara in Megillah of Zion says that Esther sent a message to the Chachamim that asking her story to be written up, there's a story of Purim to be written up as one of the books of Tanakh. And they sent back that the story of Mechiyas HaMalek is only supposed to be written three times. And there's a Gemara there, goes on with the discussion, but Gemara comes out that Mechiyas HaMalek has to be in the Torah, and the Nevi'im, and the Ksuvim. Rav Huttner says, you see that there's some different type of Kedusha to each one of those, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, otherwise, and that different things belong in different places. And therefore, the Gemara has to learn from Psukim that Mechiyas HaMalek belongs in all of those places. There's like each one, Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, each one is a cubby hole that different things go in, and you need a reason to put something in one or the other or the third or more than one. That's what that Gemara in Megillah teaches us. He continues that There are two places where we find halachic significance to whether something's in Nevi'im or Ksuvim. One is in the Rosh Hashanah Mosaf. We have to have three psukim from the Torah, of Malchios from the Torah, three psukim of Malchios from Nevi'im, three psukim of Malchios from Ksuvim. Same thing as Zichronos and Shofaros, each of the middle brachos of the Rosh Hashanah Mosaf. Malchios, Zichronos, Shofaros. Right. Hashem is a king. Hashem remembers. And Shofar. And so there are three psukim from the Torah. Then there are three psukim from Ksuvim. And then there are three psukim from Nevi'im. And then another one from the Torah. In each of the three brachos. So there are two halachos there. One is the fact that there have to be psukim from Nevi'im and psukim from Ksuvim. And the other is that the psukim from Ksuvim come first. That's how it's arranged. It's Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im. And so that's one halacha having to do with the distinction between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And the second one is halacha that Daf Torah has to be read from Nevi'im. We don't read Daf Torah from Ksuvim, ever. So why do those halachos exist, and what do they have to do? What do they tell us about the type of holiness that each of these writings has? So Rav Huttner says that there are two principles on which the distinction between Nevi'im and Ksuvim rests. One, the Nevi'im are prophecies that were originally given to be delivered orally. As said yesterday, Rabbanel says, the word Navi comes from Niv Svatayim, which means to articulate with the lips, to form words. The prophets had the prophecies, and they were intended to be delivered orally, and later they were written down. Whereas the Ksuvim, God never intended those prophecies that are in the Ksuvim to be spoken. God gave them to the prophet to write down. He didn't ever tell the prophet, go out and speak to anybody. This is essentially what Rabbanel said. Right? So that's the first point. He says that in the language of the Musaf, Rosh Hashanah Musaf Shemoneh Esrei, so this is, we see this point, because when the psukim of the Ksuvim are introduced, it says, "Udivrei kodshecha katuv leimor." We say this in Kedusha and Shabbos too. "Udivrei kodshecha katuv leimor." In your holy writings, in your holy words, it is written. And what comes after that is a pasuk from Ksuvim, like we say in Kiddusha, "Vrei kodshecha ketuv leimor, yimloch Hashem l'olam." That's a pasuk from Tehillim, which is in Ksuvim. When we introduce in the Rosh Hashanah Musaf, when we introduce the pasukim from Nevi'im, we say, "V'al yedei avadecha Nevi'im ketuv leimor," by the hands of your servants, the prophets, it is written. Why the one says it would be very constructively more in your holy right, in your holy words it's written. The other one says by the hands of your prophets. The answer is that by the Nevi'im there was a whole process. It was given over to the Nevi'im to say and then to write, whereas the Ksuvim is simply very constructively more in your holy words are written. That was the whole thing. There was no process of delivering it. That's this distinction. Tosos asks why we put the psukim of the Ksuvim before the psukim of the Nevi'im in the Musaf Rosh Hashanah. We always say Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Tanakh. It's Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. It's not Tachan, Torah, Ksuvim, Nevi'im. It's Tanakh. And the Ran answers that the because the Kedusha of Ksuvim is less, so we put the Ksuvim first, so that we could fulfill Malin Bakodesh, we go to go up in Kedusha. Wow. We start with Torah, you're wondering. Yeah, you have to start with Torah. Torah is Torah. But But after that, it will become clearer. The Magen Avraham asks on the Ran. The Ran elsewhere says, we know you're not supposed to put a sefer on top of a chumash. You're not supposed to put anything on top of a chumash, except another chumash. What about on top of Nevi'im? Well, on top of Nevi'im, you can put Torah. The Ran says that you can also put Ksuvim on top of Nevi'im. There's no preference to Nevi'im versus Ksuvim when you're piling up your Svarim. He seems to contradict himself. In one place, he says the Kedusha of Ksuvim is less than the Kedusha of Nevi'im. That's why we say it first, so we can fulfill Malin Bakodesh, to go up in holiness. In another place, he says that they're equal. So that question will be answered as we proceed. So the first principle that Rav Huttner said was that the Nevi'im were given to be delivered orally and only then written down. The Ksuvim were just given, the prophecies were given to be written down and never, with no intention of ever delivering them orally. The second principle on which the distinction is based is that as we find two sources in the Torah for two hints in the Torah that there will be Nevi'im and Ksuvim. One is Pasuk. It says, Vayitna lecha luchot ha'evan, I gave you the tablets of stone, v'ha'torah v'mitzvah, and the Torah and the mitzvah asher katavti, which I wrote lehorotam, to teach the Jewish people. The Gemara says, luchot refers to Aseret HaDibros, Torah refers to Torah, mitzvah refers to Mishnah, asher katavti, that I wrote, refers to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. And lehorotam, to teach, refers to Gemara. Hashem gave all of these things to Moshe Rabbeinu, not the Gemara word for word like we have it, but there's the concepts. It's a whole another discussion exactly what Hashem gave Moshe Rabbeinu. We might have that discussion sometime later. but you see here that Nevi'im and Ksuvim are mentioned together, and they're both learned from the words Asher Katavti, that I wrote. There's another pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. Hashem tells Moshe, Navi akim lecha, I'm sorry, Navi mikir b'cha me'achecha kamoni akim lecha Hashem okecha. Moshe tells the Jewish people, rather, Hashem will give you a Navi from your brethren like me. And you see that Hashem is that Moshe is telling them in the name of Hashem that there will be other Nevi'im. And the psukim there continue, V'natati d'vray b'fi v'diber lehem, Hashem says, I will put my words in his mouth and he will speak. So Rav Huttner draws a conclusion from this that on the one hand, Nevi'im and Ksuvim are different. On the one hand, they're the same. When it comes to the speaking part, like the Nevi'im were Hashem spoke to the prophets, and then the prophets and to telling them to speak to the Jewish people, and then the prophets wrote it down. Whereas the Ksuvim, Hashem just spoke to the prophet, and the prophet wrote it down. There was never an oral delivery of the message. So they're the same in one way. They're both written down. And they're different in one way, that the one is meant to be delivered orally and one isn't. So when the Torah is alluding to the writing aspect of it, Asher Katavti, Gemara says, Elu Nevi'im Ksuvim, this is Nevi'im Ksuvim. As far as writing, they're equal. And that's why, if you have a book of Nevi'im and a book of Ksuvim, it doesn't matter which one you put on top when you're piling them up. As far as the written aspect of it, they're equal. On the other hand, Nevi'im are holier because they have an additional aspect to them. That aspect that Hashem delivered them to be spoken orally. There's nothing about the book that tells you that. They have the same binding. They look exactly the same. So the books are the same. Halachically, the books are the same. You can pile the Nevi'im on top of the Ksuvim or the Ksuvim on top of the Nevi'im. But we also, on the other hand, recognize a separate level of holiness to the Nevi'im because they were given to be delivered orally. Now, what is the... Why is that? Some people would just stop there. That's a very nice explanation of the Gemara, but that's not how Rav Huttner operates. What's the inherent difference? Why is there this difference? The Haftorah, we mentioned Haftorah, only comes from Nevi'im. Haftorah doesn't come from Ksuvim. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu told the people, Hashem will give you a Navi like me. Historically, the most commonly given explanation for why we have a Haftorah is that there was a decree against Torah reading, and they didn't read the Torah. They replaced it with a selection from the Nevi'im. The subject's much more complicated than that. You can read about it in my book about Haftorahs, but that's the most commonly given explanation. So if they weren't going to read the Torah, they were going to replace it with something else. The logical thing to replace it with is only Nevi'im, because Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem will give you a Navi like me. Who is a Navi like Moshe? A Navi who spoke and wrote, or just a Navi who wrote? The answer is a Navi who spoke and wrote is like Moshe. So if we're going to replace the Torah with something, we're going to replace it with Nevi'im, not with Ksuvim. That's why the Haftorah comes dafka from Nevi'im and not from Ksuvim. There is Gemara, Masechet Shabbos, that implies that once upon a time, they had a Haftorah in Shabbos Mincha from Ksuvim. We don't do that. We don't have Haftorah Shabbos Mincha. But Gemara alludes to such a custom of having a Haftorah in Shabbos Mincha, and it came specifically from Ksuvim. So why is that? So he says, because reading the Torah at Shabbos Mincha was established by Ezra HaSofer. We've talked about Ezra before. Ezra and Nehemiah, the leaders of the generation that went back to build the second base of Mikdash. Ezra was the one who instituted reading the Torah Shabbos Mincha. What's Ezra's distinction? Ezra's known as Ezra HaSofer, Ezra the scribe. Ezra's claim to fame is writing. So therefore, to parallel a Torah reading at Mincha, we would choose a Haftorah from the writings, from the Ksuvim, as the book of Ezra is in the Ksuvim. So that explains that halacha.
That was dropped.
I do not know a specific date. I refer you to my Sefer on Haftorah, Laws, Customs, and History, where there is discussion of it, but I haven't reviewed it recently, so I don't remember. The Chidah says, the Mishnah in, Chidah used to review his own Sfarim every Shabbos. He says, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says that person has to come up to Shamayim after 120 years with his Torah in his hands, which most commentaries say just means review your learning so that after 120 years you'll remember what you learned. Chidah says it means review Talmudo. It says his Talmud. You have to review, Chidah said it means you have to review your own Sfarim. Things you wrote, you have to review them so that you'll remember them. So I do not fulfill that. I don't review my own Sfarim every Shabbos, and so I don't remember, but there, okay, that'll be a discussion for another time. When we get to Masechet Megillah, which at this rate will be in about 120 years, we could discuss that. The Gemara Megillah says that when Yonasan ben Uziel, after Yonasan ben Uziel translated the Nevi'im into Aramaic, he wanted to translate the Ksuvim into Aramaic. And there was an earthquake, and a baskol came out and said, "Who is revealing my secrets?" And Gemara says, "What's the problem?" Because the Ksuvim contains the secret of when Mashiach's coming. So Hashem didn't want that translated for the masses. At Gemara's first glance, requires explanation. When Mashiach is coming is hinted to in Sefer Daniel. But all of the Ksuvim, Megillas Esther, Megillas Ros, Megillas Eicha, Tehillim. So you see, says Rav Huttner, that in some respect, all of the Ksuvim are connected, telling us things about days of Mashiach. We don't know exactly how that's the case. Maybe because Yonasan ben Uziel wasn't allowed to translate it into Aramaic and reveal the secret meanings, but somehow all of the Ksuvim are alluding to messianic information. Why is that? Why should that be an Ksuvim rather than the Vim? Pasuk says, Yom Nakam Bilibi. Hashem says, there's a day of revenge in my heart. Okay? The day of revenge is the day when Hashem will judge the world and punish the Rishayim and give reward to good people. It's the ultimate, the end of days, the includes Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim, all of those things that we're learning about. Okay? It's all the day when that's coming is in Hashem's heart. And the Gemara, using the expression, Liba Lapuma Logalia, the heart did not tell the mouth. The heart did not reveal to the mouth. Now, what's the difference between speaking and writing? When you speak, you need someone to speak to. When you're writing, lots of people write diaries. They don't want anyone ever to see it. It's private. Writing is private. Writing doesn't require an audience. Speaking requires an audience. So Hashem's biggest secrets, they're only in writing. They're in the Ksuvim. They're not in the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im were given to be spoken and also written down. The Ksuvim were given to be written down, not necessarily for an audience. Now, obviously, we're meant to learn the Ksuvim. That's not the point. But it's a different form of delivering a message. It's a more secret type of message. So information about Mashiach, about the redemption, is in the Ksuvim, not in the Vim. So that's why when Gemara says, "Blessed is Hashem who gave us a three-part Torah," we're thanking Hashem, we're blessing Hashem for these distinctions that exist. In other words, we're recognizing that they're not the same. There's Ksuvim, which contains a certain kind of message, a message about the future that we're not meant to fully understand. There's Nevi'im, which contains messages that we are meant to understand about the Musar. There are also prophecies there about the future, but they're more general. They don't reveal the details the same way the Ksuvim do. And we see it most in Daniel, which has very specific details about the future that we don't understand until after the events happen. And then there's the Torah, which Torah combines everything. So that's the three part. He says that now we understand why the Gemara would say that Mechias Amalek belongs in all three sections, because Mechias Amalek, the destruction of Amalek, is referred to in the Torah as a war from generation to generation. It's for all times. So the Nevi'im are the books of the present. The Torah, of course, is the Torah. That's where the mitzvahs come from. The Nevi'im are the books that we relate to in the present. Ksuvim are the books that we relate to in the future. The war of Amalek is a war for all time, so it belongs in Torah and Nevi'im and Ksuvim.
Isn't that stuff at the end of days
Yes. So my understanding is, as I said a minute ago, it's more general information. Unlike in Daniel, it actually tells us the date about when these things are going to happen. We don't understand it yet, but that's You'll see a similar distinction in a second. Hashem told the Nevi'im that the exile between the first and second Beis HaMikdash would be 70 years. As we know, nobody knew how to calculate these 70 years. There were mistakes made. That's why Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, made a party because he thought the 70 years were over. And that's when the famous handwriting on the wall that Daniel read says, you know, your days are up. Hashem's going to destroy your kingdom. That was that day that Belshazzar made that party that he thought the 70 years were up. We know Ahasuerus, at the beginning of Megillas Esther, makes a party because he thinks the 70 years are up. He's wrong. The exile happened in stages. I've alluded to many times here, mentioned many times here. The first exile was 11 years before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay. And there were other events in between where people thought was the beginning of the exile. In fact, the 70 years are counted from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash until the building of the Beis HaMikdash. But 70 years after the first exile was the first time that a king of Persia gave permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That was then stopped, and it wasn't built again until 11 years later. But just like there were multiple occasions from which you could count the beginning of the exile, there are multiple events that could mark the beginning of the end of the exile. And nobody knew which was the real 70 years, even though the prophet Yirmiah said it would be 70 years. But nobody knew what it meant until Daniel came along and said, 70 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim. You see exactly this concept. What was spoken in Yirmiah, Hashem spoke to Yirmiah and told him, tell the people 70 years. But it wasn't understood. So we could say the same thing. Rav Huttner doesn't say this. There's a famous line said in the name of Rav Huttner. I'd rather you say my Torah in your name than say your Torah in my name. So I want to make clear, Rav Huttner doesn't say this, but maybe the answer to your question is exactly the same. Yes, Hashem mentions Gog u'Magog to Yechezkel, and Hashem mentions other aspects of redemption to Yeshaya, but they're on a very general level. We have no understanding of what they mean. We'll talk about Mechemes Gog u'Magog in the next week or two, and you'll see we have no understanding of what it means. On the other hand, so the 70 years, back in Rav Huttner now, the 70 years are alluded to by the Nevi'im, but we don't understand them until we get to the Ksuvim, until Daniel comes along and says it's 70 years from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So that's where the real secret is. The real secret's in Ksuvim. In Nevi'im, it wasn't understood. So you see exactly this distinction. Now, he says that you see as well that this distinction between Nevi'im and Ksuvim is not just about the future redemption. It's also about earlier redemptions, because that's the redemption from the first exile is the end of that 70 years. So that's the end of the piece. So to sum up, according to Rav Huttner, the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim and why a book is in Nevi'im and Ksuvim has nothing to do with different levels of holiness, but rather different types of holiness. There's the Nevi'im are prophecies that were given to Nevi'im to be spoken and then also written down. The Ksuvim were given only to be written down. The Nevi'im are more, they're out in the open more, and therefore they're more vague about certain details, like the date of the redemption. The Ksuvim are are less public, because writing is a less public act, the way a person would keep a secret diary, and therefore Hashem, so to speak, puts his secrets in the Ksuvim. There's more information there. We don't understand it yet, but there's more information there. And because of that similarity, that they're both written, but that difference, that one is spoken also, that explains different halachos in terms of putting one book on top of the other, which is allowed, versus when you want to go up in holiness, you start with Ksuvim and go up to Nevi'im, because it's a more open kind of holiness, more understandable at the present time. And also explains why Haftorahs are from Nevi'im, not from Ksuvim. Have a good day.